Welcome to a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, Josh Richardson had a chance to become the Heat's savior, but it just didn't work out. We'll talk about what went wrong in the Heat's opening night loss to the Magic.
And we'll also talk about what went right and other takeaways from the Heat's 104-101 season opening loss to the Magic right before getting to your Twitter questions. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we break down every news item, rumor, game, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat in the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Rommel, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRommel13.
The Heat trailed by 11 points with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, but they rallied back to give themselves a chance in the final seconds. Down 102-101 with 2.3 seconds left, Spo ran a play for Josh Richardson, but Richardson stepped on the baseline and didn't get the opportunity to attempt the game-winning shot. Tough break and a tough loss to the Magic to open up the season. But it says a lot that Spo went to Josh Richardson at the end of that game there, David.
Absolutely. I think it shows where Richardson stands in the hierarchy now. I know a lot of Heat fans probably expected Dwayne Wade, who wound up making the entry pass to Richardson on that play. They would have thought that he would get the closing shot. But listen, Dwayne Wade is, 36, 37 years old almost. I think we have to realize he is not the future of this franchise one way or the other. As much as we might have faith in him making that big shot, It's up to Richardson to prove that he can make those shots. And look, both Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg were there at the arena. Maybe they saw some things in Richardson that they liked. Maybe they saw some things that show maybe that a trade might be necessary. But either way, Richardson is in control now, and it's up to him to prove that he can be that kind of a player, that he can live up to that potential. They invested some money and expect him to live up and prove to them that he has a future with this organization as the lead player. And I think both Eric Spoelstra and Dwayne Wade after the game told me about it. I happened to be there covering the game in Orlando. They both talked about Richardson's role, that this is what they envision for him, that they see him being the guy who is aggressive and looking for his shot. And they expect bigger things for him in the future. Richardson looked dejected after the game as he was walking past in the hallway to go towards the visiting locker room. He was absolutely smashed. He looked broken, had a towel over his head, just couldn't be consoled by anybody. I think I'm trying to remember if it was Dragic and Justice Winslow who actually sat out the game. He was inactive, but they waited for him at the opening in the doors to the locker room. Kind of tried to console him, and he just shook him off. He just didn't want to hear anything. So, another day of rest, and he can get back into it, but it was unfortunate that it turned out that way because we do want to see Richardson succeed, whether it's here or elsewhere, but last night proved he might not necessarily be ready.
Yeah, took 21 shots in the game, went 8 for 21, took 10 three-pointers in the game. He was aggressive getting his shot. And look, I don't want to focus on the field goal percentage there. We need Josh Richardson to do that.
Well, even if you did, he was 6 of 11 on two-pointers, which is, that's solid. And that's not a problem. It was just that he took 2 of 10. If he had finished with, shooting 40%, which is really, really good, this isn't a game. The Heat win by 2. So, it's not right. That big a deal.
I think that with Spoelstra talking about at the end in the post-game press conference about how he thought it was just good for Josh Richardson to get that opportunity and get that look, the Magic ended up switching everything at the end there. And I think that maybe threw Josh Richardson off as far as, I think it was Evan Fournier was defending him at the end there.
No, it was in that last play, it was Jonathan Isaac.
Oh, Isaac was in front of him, right?
Yeah, and let me tell you, from somebody who stood next to Jonathan Isaac, that's an octopus, like a 7-foot octopus with 8 limbs that are each 8 feet apart. He is an impressive physical specimen. He's the one that forced that turnover there. It's not easy to get that shot off under any circumstances with seconds left on the clock, but to do so with Jonathan Isaac all over you, that was what the Magic were hoping to do, to create that kind of mismatch. And Isaac is good enough defensively where he can create problems for others.
Spo mentioned that, it was good for Richardson to see them switch against him. I don't know that the Magic necessarily were switching against the threat of Josh Richardson. I think they were just switching because it was an inbounds play with 2 seconds left. But still, good for Josh Richardson to get that, to see that, to have that experience. He'll go back. I'm not sure how much there is to garner from the film room other than just like don't step out of bounds. But it is still a really good opportunity for him to have that. And look, we've seen Josh Richardson bounce back from things like this a lot. And so if he is still going to be trusted in the final seconds of games, and I think he will, then it might be good for him to sort of be able to bounce back from that. Other things from the game, Goran Dragic, awesome game for him, 26 points on 9 of 14 shooting. I thought was Miami's best player, and it wasn't even very close.
You could have made a case for Hassan Whiteside early on. Whiteside looked really, really solid, and then kind of
got outplayed by Mo Bamba at the end.
A little bit. It might have been some conditioning things as well. He looked like he might have gotten a little tired, just wasn't ready to explode the same way he was earlier. But Dragic overall, absolutely.
Dragic doing everything you want. I think, what did we say before the season? He might have like one or two 30-plus point games all year long, and he got damn near close to that with 26 points against the Magic. So, look, 4 assists to go along with it. So not as many assists because he was being really aggressive with a shot, but you look at who the Heat were starting, and that's exactly what Dragic needed to do. I mean, they were without Wayne Ellington, without Justice Winslow, without James Johnson, all three of them still coming back from injuries of varying degrees. So the Heat started Dragic, Josh Richardson, Rodney Magruder, Derek Jones Jr. at that Shane Battier small ball four position, and then Hassan Whiteside at center. What did you think about how that starting group meshed together?
Not great. I think you had some stellar individual play. Rodney didn't necessarily show anything spectacular, at least not from what I saw. Richardson was the guy who was the go-to scorer, and of course Dragic still knows, even at his age, when to get his shot going. Whiteside, they were looking to get him involved early on. He was very aggressive with his rebounding. He did lead both teams in rebounding. Derek Jones Jr., he just doesn't seem ready.
Yeah,
I think either the injury during summer league might have taken him out of his groove, but or just facing different competition. Look, they have a big front line there between Jonathan Isaac and Aaron Gordon, and then bringing Bamba off the bench. You know, Nick Vucevic is long. Even if he's not known for being an aggressive defender. And you have to give credit to Steve Clifford, who's changed that Orlando team around. One of the hallmarks of all of his teams has always been an emphasis on defense. So it looks like Orlando's shifting towards that kind of focus as well. I didn't see anything great out of the other guys there in the starting lineup. You know, you can give some credit to Dragic and Whiteside for the most part, and Richardson, of course.
I thought Magruder did a decent job putting the ball on the floor, found Whiteside for a lob in the first quarter that I thought was good, and finished with 3 assists and 2 of 5 from 3-point range. So I thought Magruder played well, Magruder to play in this sort of situation.
From our seat in the media loge, it was hard to differentiate between Magruder and Richardson sometimes. They got their hair braided the same way, so it's pretty difficult to tell them apart sometimes.
I think Richardson had the hair braided that way first, so I think it's up to Magruder to fix
it. Damn. Wow. Hot take. All right. I like it.
Didn't he? I thought Richardson started with it. He's got the Travis Scott hair right now.
Yeah, I think Magruder had it to start the season, though. I don't know. Richardson, you know, we've seen Jay Rich move that hair around a lot.
Yeah,
that's true. Or little Uzi Rich, so that's interesting. Little Uzi Rich.
That Magic team, I mean, they might not be really good this year, but they are damn long. I mean, yeah. Aaron Gordon is figuring it out playing small forward some way.
Like the real deal.
Mo Bamba looks really good.
Yeah, that 3-point shot, he hit one, he took another, he has some good touch there. He's 7 foot a million. It's really impressive.
Had some great putbacks in the fourth quarter when Whiteside got a little tired to put the Magic ahead there. One other thing before we move on, there's been Spoelstra started with the small lineup, right, with Derek Jones Jr. playing the pseudo four, but didn't shy away from playing two bigs at a time. Multiple times throughout the game, we saw Whiteside, Kelly Olynyk, and Bam Adebayo, two of the three together at various points in the game. Didn't really work. And you think it would work against a longer, bigger Magic team, but it did. But their net rating was much better when they had smaller with more wings on the floor to try to space the Magic out. So we'll see. I mean, Orlando, that's again a weird octopus lineup. And I do expect Spo to keep going with the big lineup at various points throughout the year. But I think we're just basically waiting for James Johnson to come back and take that starting power forward slot back. Because, again, we'll see the two bigs lineups. They'll try to figure it out, but it doesn't seem to be working all that much. And I think that's why Spo started with the group that he went with. So, all right, let's move on. We'll talk about what went right and what went wrong, and where Miami's 3-point shooting fits into that next. But first, a quick reminder that our written Miami Heat season preview is available now. And I know that the season already started, but it's only been one game, and there's still so much great stuff in there that I'm sure you're going to want to check out. It's only $3.99 if you buy it at gumroad.com/LOHPREV, and it's free if you sign up as a Locked On Heat lifer at our Patreon page. That's at patreon.com/LockedOnHeat, and that is $5 a month, but gives you access to a whole bunch of good stuff all season long. Check out our Twitter page. We've got a tweet pinned to our Twitter page at Locked On Heat that just you can click a link and it'll take you there. It makes it super easy. Trust me when I say the preview is a bargain. 55 pages of Miami Heat goodness, equally as informative as it is entertaining. So again, please check that out. We've got some Twitter questions we'll get to later on, but let's talk about what went wrong in the loss, David. We'll talk about what went wrong first because the Heat lost, and then we'll try to finish with what went right. Try to be end with positivity, yeah, but let's go absolutely. With what went wrong.
It's funny you bring up the season preview that we wrote, because one of the things I said as far as Kelly Olynyk is concerned is proving, as far as one of his goals for this season, was proving that he could be much more consistent as a potential scorer. That was not evident against the Orlando Magic. He was exploited defensively. Part of the problem with Olynyk was on full display is that you're not quite sure where he fits defensively. He's not a great rim protector. He's not a great rebounder. He can be bullied by bigger, and he can be exploited by smaller players too. So Aaron Gordon, as explosive as he is, was looking to get his shot going against Kelly Olynyk. I'm not sure if that was evident in the telebroadcast, but in person, every time Olynyk was switched on to him, he got the ball. He was looking to create a shot. It was very interesting to see. And then offensively, it just looked like he was completely out of sorts. And that was not a good showing for Kelly Olynyk, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had that transition defense again, especially off of turnovers, didn't look great. The Magic scored 25 points off of turnovers compared to just 11 for Miami. And, Miami committed 16 turnovers. The Magic committed 12. So that ratio doesn't add up, right? Like, the Magic were just much more efficient. Like, only 4 more turnovers, but 14 more points off of those turnovers. So the Magic were much more efficient getting out and scoring off of turnovers. Miami, their offense is so bad. And throughout the game, I mean, it was the offense we saw from last year. In spurts, they look great. They're hitting threes. They're moving the ball well. Everybody's moving off the ball, cutting and moving around, doing good things. And then they'll just get into a rut, and they just can't seem to put the ball in the basket no matter what happens. And so if that's going to be the case this year, that's just, unless barring a trade, of course. But that's going to be the case this year. And Miami can't afford to turn the ball over. They just can't. And when you commit 16 – and then you allow 25 points off of those turnovers, that's really tough. What went right for the Miami Heat?
Well, I think seeing Dragic play at a high level is great. I think, as we mentioned in the first segment, seeing Richardson be aggressive with his shot is something very good. I think seeing that Hassan Whiteside performance wasn't a fluke during the preseason, I think that was particularly impressive. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see him be more engaged over the course of the season. He was undaunted by the challenge of facing these taller, younger guys. He lived up to those expectations. Vucevic has made a career in millions anyway, as far as his encounters with the Heat, and the Whiteside didn't shy away from that. So I like seeing that kind of aggression from the team. And to be honest with you, the fact that they were able to move on as quickly, I know it's the league. I think they realize there are 81 other games that they have to deal with, including one tonight against the Washington Wizards. So they're able to put that behind them a lot sooner than I would have thought.
Whiteside again, one turnover to zero assists. So that's a good, when we talk about the assist, the Whiteside doesn't pass thing, a key thing to look at is also how many turnovers is he committing. Because if he's not passing the ball and ends up forcing shots, and he did force shots towards the end of the game a little bit. But,
absolutely, yeah.
As long as he's not...
Got blocked twice by Terrence Ross, for crying out loud.
Yeah, the defensive stalwart, otherwise known as Terrence Ross. You don't want him to... we're going to have that. That's what you get with Whiteside. But you don't want him to be turning the ball over too and just kind of fumbling the ball in the post. You want him to at least get the shot up. And he did that, so that was good. Again, looking for silver linings in a loss here. What went right for me, and look, Shondell Richardson of The Athletic wrote a five takeaways piece. I'm not calling him out here, but I kind of am. He said that the Heat took way too many threes in that game, and I've seen a lot of things that the Heat were taking way too many threes in that game. I kept seeing that take. And they went 9 of 33 from three-point range. They didn't make a lot of threes. They certainly took a lot of threes. I don't have a problem with that. Look, again, this is a Heat team that needs to manufacture offense. Go to college basketball and look at, you know, a decade ago when, you know, the Gators with Billy Donovan and all those sort of teams were just jacking up three-point shots, like, and Brad Stevens at Butler. I mean, taking so many threes because it evens the playing field. It is a great equalizer. And yeah, you're going to have games where you're not making a bunch of them, but you're going to have games where you're making a bunch of them, and it only increases your percentage, your odds of winning. And so I think the Heat, they don't have an all-star player. They don't have a Jimmy Butler who could just sort of get into the paint at will and get his shot off. They don't have a LeBron who could do the same thing. They don't have Kyrie Irving who could do the same thing. They don't have that player. So you kind of just have to manufacture offense and be a very efficient offense. I thought they got good looks from the corners. I thought they were brave in the way that they took all those threes despite them not going in. And I think that's going to be a formula for if they're going to have success, that's going to be part of the formula this year. Again, 33 three-point attempts tonight would have ranked third in the NBA last season. Miami averaged 30.6 a game last season. So it wasn't a whole lot more, about three more attempts, but that was, and the Heat.
Well, those numbers are going to rise league wide. Yeah, those numbers are going to rise league wide. Exactly. But I think this is showing the trend. And I think, honestly, I have to agree with you that Shondell Richardson's a little off there, because those games were in the flow. They were open shots for the most part. You know, they were moving the ball. I saw a lot of activity and a lot of passing, at least from my view of the game. So I didn't think that they were forcing their shots. There wasn't a lot of bad opportunities there. And again, if you're facing that taller front line of Isaacs and Bamba and Gordon, it's going to be a challenge to drive to the rim. And so you want those open opportunities at the perimeter. And I think that just makes sense. So I'm not sure what Shondell would have liked as far as a different type of offense, but I think it worked out really well for the Heat for the most part. And I don't think they're going to go 9 of 33 very often. I think it's just Richardson had a bad shooting night. You don't necessarily want guys like Magruder taking five shots or Olynyk going 0 for 3. I think it's just a lot of averages, even up.
There's not going to be a whole lot of nights where Richardson and Olynyk combine to go 2 of 13 from three-point range. That's going to be an anomaly. And look, when Wayne Ellington gets back and when
he was available, though. A lot of people talking about why he didn't go in there in the last play there, because he was available and he has been practicing. And I saw him putting up a ton of shots before the game. Me and Anthony Chang were talking about it. We weren't quite sure why he wasn't available to play. I mean, he was available to play. Why he wasn't made to play, because he could have gone out there very easily. And I don't know. Maybe they wanted that. Maybe they wanted Richardson to feel that pressure of the last shot and see how he responded.
Whiteside took a three-pointer. He's going to be taking one three-pointer a game, I'm telling you. That's the Valanciunas. It's going to happen.
That's fine.
All right, we'll get to your Twitter questions next. And we want to let you know that we have created the ultimate NBA Twitter feed. It's at LockedOnNBAnet. And it has all of the Locked On local experts on one feed. Every team is covered. Every local angle uncovered. It is the ultimate Twitter follow for the NBA fan. Local experts on every team on one Twitter feed. How can you beat that? Follow at LockedOnNBAnet for the ultimate NBA Twitter experience. Okay, so for game recaps this season, just like we did last season, but in case you're new here, we're going to take questions from you about the game on Twitter. All you have to do is use the hashtag AskLOHeat, and then we'll pick a few to answer. So let's start with this one from Billy, who writes in, "So Bam, Whiteside, Dragic, and Richardson looking pretty good. I think Jimmy isn't worth giving them up right now, but it's only game one." David, I've said this already 100 times on this podcast. Maybe not 100 times. I'm exaggerating. 99 times. This will make 100. That the longer this Butler thing goes, it actually benefits Miami, because they're going to get a real look, not preseason, not training camp looks, a real look at guys like Whiteside and Josh Richardson in particular. They're not giving up Bam, so don't worry about Bam. But they're going to get a real look at Whiteside and Richardson in the regular season against other NBA teams, against other NBA competition. You look at a guy like Josh Richardson and how, you know, how Spo ran that last play for him. They're going to get a real look at NBA competition on these guys. And maybe if Richardson comes out and scores 21 points a game and plays defense the way we're accustomed to playing, You don't move. You just don't trade him for Jimmy Butler. He becomes a top 15 player in the NBA if he puts up those kind of stats at night in and night out. I don't think he will, but if he looks like he's on that path, then you really have to then you really do have to, as Billy says here, consider not moving him for Jimmy Butler. What do you think?
Look, Jimmy Butler in the season opener versus San Antonio finished with 23 points. 9 of 23 shooting, 1 of 4 from 3-point range. The difference.
Are you sure that wasn't Josh Richardson's stat line? That looks very familiar.
It does. I think the difference here, well, maybe not much of a difference, 4 of 5 at the free throw line as opposed to just 3 of 3 for Richardson.
Yeah,
a little bit better of a rebounding night. 4 steals to match Richardson's 1. I think that's also a difference. Mm-hmm. He's more of a ball hawk defender. And he can force turnovers. Look, you're putting me on the spot here because, again, another day of talking to guys like Goran and Josh Richardson, and you see Richardson in particular after the loss, how he responded. You do want him to find success. It's if you're looking at it, if you're asking me off the floor, it's hard to want to trade guys like that that, you know, you want to see grow and develop and take it to that next level. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe it's all about wins and you kind of have to be cold and analytical and say, you know what, Josh Richardson does not equal the player Jimmy Butler is.
But
I don't know that you...
But wait, no, that's true, right? But if you're going to be cold and analytical, you've also got to look at the salary differences. If you're paying Josh Richardson, what is that? If you're giving him $10
million
and $11 million a year, and then you're going to be looking at $35 million a year for Jimmy Butler, I don't know what that percentage is. It's like you're only paying him, I don't know, like a quarter of what you're paying Jimmy Butler.
35%, let's say, basically. 35%
And if he gives you 75% of what you get with Jimmy Butler, you know, that's you've got to think about that, like, as far as the salary goes. Now, I know Miami, it's not just a vacuum. You've got to consider, you know, you can acquire Butler's bird rights, and yeah, you're going to pay the tax, but you're going to get a good player that you otherwise couldn't get on a max slot that you otherwise wouldn't have. All that, yes, you've got to consider, but just look at this thing. If you're getting Josh Richardson at 16 to 18 points per game with that defense, and you're getting 70 to 75% of what you would otherwise get with Jimmy Butler, but you're getting it at a bargain contract that's not going to look horrible in year three or year four. That is a cold and analytical approach that you've got to think about.
Look, it's hard for me because, again, I look, I don't mind Butler as a player. I think he's a great player, and I don't mind his antics off the court either. I think a lot of those are overblown, and I think you look at what he can potentially do as far as changing the landscape of the team. He's a legit superstar, one of the top 15 players in the league. And he can bring in other potential superstars. I don't know. I just, you're kind of banking a lot and you're paying for that opportunity. You're paying for that hope that he'll be able to lure another potential, you know, friend and free agent at some point in the future. And that might not necessarily work. And instead, you've got an overpaid Jimmy Butler that you're not going to be able to move at age 30 something with bad knees being paid almost $40 million a year.
As far as Whiteside and Dragic go, look, Bam, the other guy that Billy mentioned. Don't worry about Bam. He's not getting moved. Whiteside and Dragic, we talked about before the season. The better they play, the more likely the Heat should look at a trade for those guys because they'll just get more value. I mean, I know you're anti-trading Dragic. I am very much at the point where I think you need to sell high on Dragic right now. And that's
he was going against DJ Augustine, you know, 5'8" DJ Augustine. So
yeah.
I mean, we'll see how he responds against a game versus John Wall tonight.
Yeah, that's a good point. And look, the Heat will be back at it Friday night. Thursday night. Sorry, against the Wizards. That is Spo talked about after the game. He actually, you know, late in the season in January, you don't want back to backs. You don't look forward to back to backs. But to kick off the year, and after a tough loss like this one, they were talking about Spo was talking about at least how he's looking forward to just being able to not have to wait a day, just like, let's get back on the court and just try to right the ship here. So it should be a really good test against a Washington team that has high hopes this season.
Yeah, the Heat have just released their injury report for tonight, too. So James Johnson and Deion Waiters are both out. Winslow is still listed as doubtful, and Ellington as questionable. So we'll see how they respond with that.
Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. And of course, make sure to hit that subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or whatever you use to listen. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Thanks for listening. One last thing before you go. If you run a company and you're unhappy with your return from advertising online or in print, try something new and advertise on a podcast here at Locked On Heat. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. More and more people are listening every day. 50% of U.S. households listen to a podcast, and 1 in 5 Americans between ages 18 and 49 listen to at least one a month. That's according to Nielsen. Thanks to the rise in mobile options from iTunes to Spotify and more, to your smart speaker at home, there's more ways than ever to listen to podcasts. Now is the time to get in. Be ahead of your competition and start advertising on a podcast with us. Our rates are reasonable and based on the number of listens, so you get what you pay for, with numbers to back it up. Whereas print, TV, and radio ads are a shot in the dark. You have no idea who is reading, watching, or listening. That's not the case with podcasts. If you want to reach engaged, passionate, and knowledgeable South Floridians, this is the way to do it. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company on the next episode.